Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on supertalk1270.com.
Diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
You just need some new earrings and you'll feel a lot better.
With wind chill advisories, please make sure you've got the winter survival kit packed and let others know your driving route when headed out. Happy holidays and safe driving from all of us at Town Square Media.
For this evening coming up, a wind chill advisory goes into effect. First for today, look for partial sunshine, high of only 6 above zero. While for winds out of the north at 10 miles per hour. Then for tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies, chilly low temperature near 14 below. We'll have wind chill values to minus 20. Then for your Christmas Day, mostly cloudy, slight chance for light snow showers developing later in the day, highs near zero. That's your latest forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll on Supertalk 1270. Right now it's 15 below.
Welcome to the Tech Ranch, live and local here on Supertalk 1270. The latest gadgets, online security, websites and apps, social media, and so much more. How can technology help you? Let's find out. It's time for the Tech Ranch on Supertalk 1270.
From our studio in beautiful Mandan, North Dakota, along the mighty Missouri River, here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
Well, that's good. I like this. Get us in the mood for Christmas Eve. So have you ever had a computer crash? What steps have you taken to minimize those losses? Windows 3.1, Windows 95, 98, 2000 XP, Vista 7, and now 8. So do you need to upgrade? Do you want to upgrade? And then the last thing we're going to be talking about today. How are you watching those memories you have on those old videotapes? So we have Nick Ressler here. He's the co-founder of Awesome 2 Products and Zuvio Incorporated. And he will be our in-studio guest and we'll be talking about these issues and more. And at the control panel today is my producer extraordinaire, Jim Walsh. Jim, how you doing today?
Not too shabby.
Good, good. So have you ever taken video or photographs in cold weather before?
My father's camera, which is an old Nikon camera, I say old in the sense that it's pre-digital.
Okay.
It's a world-class instrument, though. It's okay. A professional quality camera. Cost him a ton of bucks. And I went out one winter's day in my hometown to take pictures, and I noticed it only works above about 35 degrees.
The flash part of it?
Yeah, well, the
or
flash.
Or the whole camera?
The whole camera.
Really?
The whole camera really wouldn't work if it got down below a certain level.
So was there some type of warning or something that would tell you that the camera wouldn't work when it
got
to that
temperature? Well, it just didn't work.
It just didn't work.
Yeah,
okay.
That was the warning. It didn't work.
Okay, okay. And I'm just going to bring Nick into the conversation. We'll introduce you a little bit later, Nick. But have you had experiences with cold weather photography or video?
On video, I've run into where it wouldn't work if there was a lot of humidity in the air.
Okay. Okay.
It actually had a dew warning on the screen.
Right on the screen. Okay. Yep. And was this in a digital instrument or pre-digital as well?
It was taped.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is that, as many of you know, we kind of found the deep freeze here in the great north. And I was out shooting video last night of some holiday lights. And my cell phone came up and said that the flash would not work because it was too cold outside. And I would imagine, and we were just kind of talking about this before the show here, about why that is. And I'm wondering if it's not the response time with the flash. You know, and my analogy would be like fluorescent lights when you try to turn them on in cold weather. That might be a ballast issue, but it takes a while for it to turn on. You need to have that immediate response, I think, with a flash right away. And I don't know. What do you think, Nick?
I think you're right.
So, way to elaborate on that. So, anyway, if you're out taking some Christmas lights or whatever, just be aware that, although I think Christmas lights probably look a little better without flash, but if you're doing some stuff during the day or whatever, that your flash may not work when it's below zero. So, just keep that in mind.
Say, Marlo, I noticed you have a new pair of gloves there.
Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, Nick. Another thing about cold weather stuff. I got these as a Christmas gift, and these gloves, another issue that you have in cold weather is that if you're wearing gloves and you're trying to use your touch screen, that you can't do that because I think it's the heat in your fingers that allow you to do that. These gloves actually have touch points on them, on your fingers, so that you can navigate through your smartphone or device or whatever. So these are available now, and I thought that was a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, I wonder if those would work with people who are cold-blooded. Sometimes I notice on my iPad early in the morning, when I touch it, it doesn't work.
Really?
And I have to wait. I have to kind of rub my finger a little bit to warm it up, and then it works.
And really, it does. So when you rub your finger, that's interesting. I know other people that have the same issue as well. I've never thought about rubbing your fingers to warm them up a little bit. But, yeah, that's a good idea, actually. So, give them a try sometime. So, anyway, with me in the studio this morning is Mr. Nick Ressler. Nick is the co-founder of Awesome 2 Products and Zuvio Incorporated. And we'll get into both of those companies in a little bit. But needless to say, he's had many, many years of experience working around computers and videos and photos. And I'm very, very excited to have him in the studio today. And the first thing we're going to be talking about is backup strategies. And I'm sure people have dealt with this in the past, you know, and I know I have myself. Your hard drive is going to crash. There is no doubt that sometime in your life you're going to deal with some data loss because of a hard drive crashing. You may be dealing with maybe your laptop getting stolen or losing your thumb drive. You might even realize on Friday that you desperately need the now departed Wednesday version of an important document that you significantly altered. Jim's laughing over here because obviously this has happened to you. There's all kinds of crazy things that can happen. And we're just going to talk a little bit about backup strategies. And Nick, I'm just going to let you take it away, and I'm just going to follow along with you here.
Well, over the Awesome 2 Products, probably one of the things we get the most is when people bring in their notebook computers or their desktops, and they say it won't start up.
Okay.
And they don't mean it won't start up. The computer does start, but they cannot get into Windows.
Okay.
They can't access their data. And this caused a lot of times because the hard drive has malfunctioned. And as you said before, they don't last forever.
Right.
I want to emphasize that. When you look at your computer, think of it as a machine that's going to break down.
And I don't think it's any different than any other machine that you buy. I mean, when you go and buy a car or a television or whatever, you will just assume that it's going to break down. Sooner
point.
Or later,
yes.
You have to assume the same thing with the hard drive in your computer. It's going to break down.
So I always say you should have some strategies, and one of them is back up your backup.
Okay.
And what I'm talking about there is when you turn your computer off, answer this question. Is there anything on that computer that I need tomorrow if it's gone or doesn't work when I start it up? There should be – that data should be in two other places.
Okay.
External hard drive, thumb drive. Photos, I always recommend to burn them to a disk.
Okay.
Actually, physically, you know, put a disk in and make a copy on a disk. I've had customers where their backup has failed. And ironically, their computer failed and their backup failed. And that's pretty discouraging when you have photos that are gone forever.
Sure. And, you know, situations like a lightning strike that hits your house or something, if you have a on-site backup, could actually destroy both your computer and the backup that you have going on. So what would you suggest for a secondary backup? I mean, you know, is there an off-premise type of solution?
And that's a good point. Carbonite is a good option, and
okay.
There are a lot of other ones out there. You can Google it, where you're actually storing your data in a cloud. For smaller files than that, I use Dropbox.
Okay.
And that's an off-site storage.
Why don't you explain a little bit about Dropbox?
Dropbox is actually free. It gives you 2 gigabytes free, and you can buy more.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts an icon on your desktop, and you put files in there, and you can put Dropbox on all your devices, even your smartphone, and you can access it. One of the things I use Dropbox constantly for is to retrieve passwords that I can't remember.
And we're going to actually talk about that in a little bit. But so you actually have like a file folder that you've encrypted somehow or another, password protected,
exactly.
on Dropbox so that you have that access to
exactly.
passwords.
Exactly.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah. Interesting idea. So, and there are other solutions besides Dropbox, too. I mean, there is, there's Box.
Yeah.
You know, there is Google Drive.
Yeah.
Which
iCloud.
I use a lot. iCloud, there's a lot of solutions depending on what you have
SkyDrive.
Out there.
SkyDrive.
I think Dropbox is the first prominent one of
right.
those type of things. But
Dropbox is the easiest one to use. I find SkyDrive and iTunes and the other Apple version is kind of hard, like iCloud.
Okay. Well, with that, we're going to go to break. And after the break, everybody, we are going to continue our conversation with Nick Ressler on backup strategies and what might be best for you. So come on back.
You're listening to Supertalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
At facebook.com/thetechranch or Twitter at Guru of Geek or at www.thetechranch.com. Here again is your Guru of Geek, Marlo Anderson.
And welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. We're talking with the co-founder of Awesome 2 Products and Zuvio Incorporated, Nick Ressler. And Nick and I are chatting a little bit about what to do to back up your data so that when your hard drive crashes, you won't go into a crazy panic like we see every day. So, Nick, if you know, we've been talking in general about backups now. If you have no backup plan in place, let's say you were consulting somebody right now, and we'll pick on Jim over here. Jim has no backup plan in place. What would you recommend him to do, to back up his stuff?
First thing, go out and buy yourself an external hard drive.
Okay.
USB. Plug it in, and I recommend just mirroring your whole hard drive.
Okay.
There's software out there. Acronis is one of them.
And I think a lot of the external hard drives you buy nowadays actually come with it. Yeah. And yeah. It's actually called imaging your hard drive.
Exactly. Make a complete copy of it.
Okay.
And then the next thing I would do is write down all the serial numbers of all the programs you have.
Okay.
If you have a notebook computer, turn it over, and the little tag on the back side that gives you your serial number or the code to authenticate Windows.
Okay.
Write it down. They get lost. They get smudged. They get unreadable.
Okay.
You want to preserve that because if you bring your computer to me and I've got to rebuild your Windows, I need that code.
Okay.
If you don't have it, you have to buy it. So you have to buy another copy of Windows.
And what about all your other softwares that you have in your computer?
Yes. Write it down. A lot of times we can get the software online, but we cannot get the codes.
So what is there a piece of software or something that you can actually extrapolate those serial numbers from your computer now? Because the issue that I would have would be, I bought, like the laptop that's sitting in front of me right now, came with some software. And I've registered it or whatever, but I've never actually had a disk for any of this stuff.
Right. And there is software out there if you Google it. There's a couple of programs out there. One of them that I use is a paid-for program. And I think it's just called Get the Code or whatever.
Okay.
And it actually goes in and looks, and it gives you a list of all the codes. Print them off or save them as a file. Again, I always old school, I still print stuff.
Sure.
I have a printed copy of all of that.
And that's of all of your serial numbers for all of your software.
All the software.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the name of the software and that. So
okay.
If the computer goes down, I can – but now if you cloned your hard drive and it goes down, when you clone it back, you're going to have all that stuff. But you
That's
wanna,
a good point, yes.
But you want to have that backup of the backup again.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And of course, the big thing with what you're talking about is that serial number for your operating system. So if that serial number is on your computer someplace, make sure that you write that down in another location.
If you don't find it on the back of your notebook, look under the battery.
Okay.
The newer computers are getting smart. They're starting to put it under the battery so they don't wear off.
Okay.
So.
Okay, very good. Okay. So then the next thing you would tell Jim as far as backup strategy goes, he's gone out and got himself an external hard drive. He's taken and recorded all of his serial numbers. What's the next thing he should do?
You got a program that you're using.
Well, I do.
And
you want me to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Crash Plan, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Two words, Crash Plan. And I've really begun to like this program, and the reason I like it is that I can actually back up off-site, but it's not like Carbonite or whatever where it's off-site, on the web type of thing. I'm using the internet to back up my work computer at home, my home computer to my laptop, and my laptop to my work.
There you go.
So I have multiple – I have backups of all three of my computers to off-site locations of places that I use. So if my work computer ever goes down, my secondary backup is actually at home.
And this Crash Plan is a free piece of software?
Yeah, it's actually free. You can actually purchase it as well. There's two different versions. Crash Plan actually has on, or they use an online thing like Carbonite. So if you want to buy that, you can. But you can just get CrashPlan and then put in external hard drives and all your other computers and actually back up to those devices. So I really, really like that plan. And probably my favorite part of it is that I get a report every day that if, like, my laptop, you and I were just talking about this, as a matter of fact, and my laptop sometimes isn't on long enough to do a full backup. So I'll get a report saying only 36% of it was backed up that day. So if it's important for me to back up the stuff I have on there, I'll just turn my computer on at work or whatever, my laptop, and let it finish its backup. So it's pretty cool. CrashPlan.
Cool.
So what about online versions of things? I know you talked a little bit about Dropbox and those type of things.
SkyDrive. iCloud.
But the issue, of course, is that they're probably not large enough to do a true backup of your computer.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to put like a lot of photos or a complete backup in Dropbox. The thing I use Dropbox for is things that I want to use daily.
Okay.
Like if I have a file at work and I want to go home and I'm going to work on it at home, well, instead of putting it on a thumb drive, I just throw it in Dropbox.
Yep.
I go home, start the computer at home, open up Dropbox, and there it is.
Yep.
And then vice versa, throw it back in and then go to work and print it off.
And most of those offsite or online storage type of things like Dropbox or Box or Google Drive, they're accessible from your tablet and your smartphone as well. So if you ever need to grab a PDF or whatever from your smartphone, you can just grab that stuff. So it's a great way. It's kind of a dual purpose thing. You have the ability to kind of back up that important data at the same time you have accessibility to it.
Here's another little trick. I created a Hotmail account email.
Okay.
And a lot of times I'll just email that to a file or take a file and email it and just leave it there.
Okay.
And then when I want it, I just open up my Hotmail account and download it.
So does Hotmail, do they have size restrictions as far as, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's just for smaller things.
Sure,
know?
Sure. Interesting. But if it's important to you to hang on to, interesting idea. So let's talk a little bit about, well, let's go into the Carbonite scenario now of those type of softwares. And I know you and I just talked about Carbonite. There's all kinds of these out there now. And basically, it's a piece of software that it's a service that you purchase, right, for $50 or $60 a year. They put a little piece of software on your computer, and then it does automatic backups for yourself. Have you had any experience with these at all?
I haven't used them yet.
Okay.
But I've read up on them, and a lot of other companies are promoting them. And if I wasn't where I'm at now using what I use, I would use Carbonite.
Okay. Okay.
You know, and if you have nothing else, go out and get it.
Well,
you know,
I agree with you. It doesn't really matter of all these scenarios. It doesn't matter what you use. Just use something.
Yeah, use something.
Yeah, whatever it is. So does Carbonite offer, are you familiar with it? Do they actually image your hard drive, or how do they do that?
They do.
Okay.
To start off with, they'll actually image your hard drive. It takes a long, long time, depending on your internet
and
service.
That is the downside to those type of services, correct? Is
exactly,
that it just, you know?
Yeah. See, and the thing of it is, if you buy an external hard drive and you mirror your hard drive, in 30 minutes you can be back up and running. If your computer crashes, you have to just take out the old hard drive, put in a new one, start up your software, and bring the whole thing back in. Where if you're on Carbonite and you've mirrored it, you can imagine by the time you put a hard drive in, you're going to have to reload the operating system.
Yep.
You have to start from scratch and then download all of that data.
Right.
So that would be the downside for using offsite.
Yep. But like you said, any solution is better than none.
Yeah.
So, but I'm with you. I think the first thing that I would do is certainly a backup external hard drive. And then if you're... You know, if you're unsure, I guess, with how to go about that process or whatever, then go for the Carbonites or whatever, because those are very easy, simple, click and back up your stuff. Although I think external hard drives are pretty much the same way now.
Yeah.
I think that they're a great little thing. So, okay. Now let's talk a little bit. You just mentioned, before we go to break here, you talked a little bit about passwords. And your strategy for hanging on to passwords. And by the way, this is my biggest pet peeve in the world. I cannot get over, you know, I have books and books and books full of passwords, username and passwords. How are you dealing with all of this?
Make a list, put it in Word, and then upload it, like you say, encrypt it and put it into Dropbox.
So now when you say encrypted, for those of you who don't understand, what are you doing there? I mean, you're just creating a password file, basically?
Yeah.
So you're creating a password for this file that hopefully you will remember.
I actually do it a couple of ways.
Okay.
Which I don't want to mention. one is misname it.
Okay.
You don't want to call it password.
Yes, I agree with you that you have to do that. Yeah. You have to come up with a name for your password file so people, if they actually hacked your computer, don't know it's passwords.
And then you bury it.
Okay.
You put it in with a bunch of other things.
Okay.
So that only...
You're listening to SuperTalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
Showers developing later in the day, highs near zero. That's your latest forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro on SuperTalk 1270. Right now, it's 15 below.
We're back to the Tech Ranch. Stream this program now at supertalk1270.com. Here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick Ressler from Ostu Products and Zuvio Incorporated is our in-studio guest today, and we were just visiting a little bit about backups. And I just have one more question for you, Nick, before we move on to Zuvio. What about thumb drives? Boy, you're hesitating about this.
Because I've got a drawer full of thumb drives that don't work.
Okay.
And I think thumb drives are for just plugging in and taking data from one computer to the other computer. And since I use Dropbox, I don't need them.
Okay.
I do have a thumb drive that I have with an SD card that I turned off so it's locked.
Okay.
And I have software that I update computers with, and that way I can't get a virus on it.
Okay.
And other than that, I really don't like them.
Okay. Okay. So you're basically using it for your computer diagnostic stuff, and that's about it. So.
Exactly.
So you don't believe in carrying any type of pertinent information for long periods on thumb drives?
If it's backed up at least twice, yes.
Okay.
But if that's the only place I have it, no.
So I've run into companies that I've done some work for that are backing up like QuickBooks to a thumb drive. You're smiling when I say this. You should not be doing this, correct?
If it's backed up in a couple other places, fine. If that's how you're just, you know, if you put it on a thumb drive and you send it to your accountant, fine.
Okay.
But have it backed up.
So if that was their sole way of backing things up,
no, you're
asking for big issues,
big
aren't
trouble.
You? Yeah. Okay.
Big trouble.
Okay.
Static electricity can zap them.
Yeah. I'm with you. I have a whole drawer full of them, too. And I know both you and I have repaired these things before, but it's usually the circuitry in them that goes bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not really much to do when that goes bad. So do not trust thumb drives. They're convenient. Love them.
Yeah.
But do not trust them for long-term storage. So, okay. So let's move on to Zuvio a little bit, since we're talking about backing things up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Zuvio does and why it's pertinent to today's show?
Well, if you think about taking the time to record a family history with video, over the years you do this, and a lot of times the media has changed. You started off with a VHS. You went to probably an 8mm. Then you went to high 8, digital 8, and now the mini digital video. So you're sitting with all these formats, and odds are you don't have a way, or your children or friends and family don't have a way to view them.
And there's actually like 47 different formats of videotape. And, you know, you think about how fast things change nowadays. I just think about this the other day. Just in the period of like 25 years, they introduced 47 different formats of videotape. That's crazy.
Yeah. And we talked about this before. The war between
Beta and VHS,
VHS, and then lately just the high definition, and
HD and Blu-ray,
and it's crazy because you have to buy all these appliances, these units to play it,
right?
And then they go outdated. What do you do with them? They're junk,
right?
So wouldn't it be cool if you had one place to store all of this video, and you could access it on any internet device?
Okay.
That's Zuvio.
Yeah, that
so
is
there
cool.
It is. So that's the thought. That's the idea behind it. Take your video.
So I have my wedding on VHS tape, and I want to, and I can't watch it anymore. How do I get this so I can see it again on Zuvio?
You bring it to Awesome 2 Products.
Okay.
And
or any of
our affiliates, our transcoding places, the drug stores, White Drug, right?
White Drug, yep, yep.
And then you can buy, you can stop in at like Super Value, and you can actually buy a pack,
okay.
A kit,
okay.
And bring your videotape, or if you're from out of town, you put it in this kit. Open it up, and you fill out the information, you drop your tape in, and you throw it in the mail, and it comes to our studio, our lab. And there we take it, and we digitize it, and we put it into a vault, and it's Zuvio, Zuvio.com, Z-O-O-V-I-O. And you actually get a free vault. And once that video's in there, you can even download it and then burn it to a disc. There again, making a backup of the backup.
Yep.
So once it's in there, you can also share it with friends and family.
So it's private.
It's private, unlike YouTube. That's open to the public.
Okay, so it's private, yeah. But if I want to share it, then I can do that.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now last night, and the reason I was talking about my camera or my phone a little bit earlier is that I was using the Zuvio app last night on my Droid. And filming the Christmas lights in downtown Mandan. And that's actually what I was doing. And then I was uploading it right from my camera right into Zuvio. So in my Zuvio account, I have VHS tapes. I have beta tapes. I have digital 8 tapes. And then I have the current formats, which I am just uploading right from my cell phone. And that's just all free.
See, and that's the other thing now. With the devices you buy today, most of them come with a camera.
Right.
And your phone, your iPod, mini pod, and all the Droid tablets and that. And that's the cool thing about Zuvio. Once you have the account, which is free again, you can put that video, the data that you're recording, right into that vault. So, again, there's your backup.
Yep. And, you know, unlike... a lot of things that stream online, you know, where you're limited to maybe just viewing them on your computer, Zuvio isn't that way at all, is it? You have what options do you have to view these videos once they're on there?
If it's hooked to the internet, you can watch it. You can watch it on a TV by using a Roku or any smart TV. If you've got an internet connection,
let's just stop you right there. I don't think most people understand what you just said. If you have an internet-connected television, you can literally watch that VHS tape that you can't see anymore right on your TV again.
Exactly.
Okay, and so you need an internet-connected television that would sync to your Zuvio account.
Well, you don't need an internet-connected TV.
Okay.
You can go out and buy a TV at a rummage sale for $5 and buy a Roku,
okay,
which is an internet receiver box, plug it into that TV, because that Roku is going to receive that internet signal and watch it on that TV. So you can actually put a TV out in your garage or in your bedroom and have the internet live, porting it right to that TV.
Right. And, of course, the Roku has many, many other choices as well.
Channels and channels.
Many channels that you'll never, ever leave your house if you ever get one of these things, because it's crazy how many channels there are on there. So, but Zuvio has its own channel on the Roku.
Right.
And so you can watch those memories again that way,
too. And you can watch it on your smartphone, your tablet. As long as you got the internet, you can watch it.
Yep. Very, very cool. And what about photos?
Well, you can put photos up there. Unlike Flickr and that, it's not a photo storage device.
Okay.
But what it is I put photos up in there and turn it on the big screen TV as a photo viewer.
Right.
A digital photo viewer. And it just pages through like a slideshow. And it's pretty awesome.
And I have it on good account here that there will be some major changes to the photo format in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to group your photos and create your own slideshows and that type of thing in Zuvio too.
Yeah.
So,
and also with Zuvio, we are working on a online editor, because that's one thing we get a lot requests for. People bring in their videotapes and say, can you take out the dead spots or the bad spots? And you can download your video and actually edit it and put it back up. Or later, we'll probably end up with an online editor so you can actually edit your video on Zuvio.
And I'm sure that this happens a lot when you're doing stuff, is that you'll have a half hour, an hour of a wedding video. You know, you have 6 hours of video on this tape, and the last 5 hours are Days of Our Lives from the 1980s or whatever. So yeah, everybody's laughing about that. But I think what happened a lot of times is people would be running out of the house, and they're like, we need a videotape for this wedding we're going to. Well, there's just one in the VCR, so they'll go grab that one, use it, and then they put it away in storage because they don't want to use it again. So then when we get it, of course, it's got all these hours of Days of Our Lives on there, and they just don't want that stuff. So an editor would be a nice option, and will be soon available on there as well. So any final thoughts on ZooView before we go to break?
If you don't have any videotape and you're going to go to a wedding and they're going to videotape it, give a gift package of ZooView to the bride and groom. One other thing is when you're at these weddings and these events, these class reunions or family reunions, take out your smartphone and video a bunch of stuff and put it up into the vault.
Yeah, and let's just stop you right there. Let's just go back. This is something that you and I talked about last week about this, is that remember the days when, you know, you had a camera on all the reception tables or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And people would take with the instant things, with the instant cameras. And then, of course, the bride and groom would go and get all these photos processed or whatever. Right. You can actually do that again with ZooView, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Take a photo and put it up into ZooView. We are working with some of the wedding planners in that where you'll actually have a website. There'll be a card on the table, and it'll say, hey, take photos, take video, and actually put it up into this vault. And then the bride and groom, that'll be their vault.
Right.
And then later on, they can sit back and watch some of the craziness. Some things.
Or you could literally play it back later on in the evening.
Sure.
You know, if you had a Roku set up to a TV or an internet-connected device of some kind, you could actually play it back right at the wedding. So people could be recording stuff for playback
right there. Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So. Yep. All right. After the break, everybody, we will continue our discussion with Mr. Nick Ressler. We're going to get into his favorite topic, which is viruses. Yeah, so come on back, everybody. You will not want to miss this.
Catch this and other podcasts of Supertalk 1270 online at supertalk1270.com.
Post your comments or questions at thetechranch.com. Let's head back to the studio and join
and
the conversation.
Welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. And Nick was just sharing with us some of the crazy stuff that's going on Facebook right now. So we're just going to get right into it, Nick. We're going to run out of time here, so I'm already going to invite you back so we can continue our conversation on viruses. But you were just sharing with me kind of all the scams and stuff that are going on Facebook right now. So why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, to start off with, any time something pops up on your computer, it's probably a scam.
Okay.
You know, and there's the FBI virus out there. There's the virus that tells you your computer doesn't have the right or illegal software. All of this stuff is a scam. But one of the things that that I ran across was Facebook, and I actually fell for a couple of these where it tells you some celebrity said this about, you know, the Sandy Hook shooting. And
yeah, and let's
like
just
this.
Talk about that. So the Morgan Freeman statement that's on Facebook right now about
it's
the
fake.
Sandy Hook shootings is fake.
Fake. And what I did is I went to Face Crooks.
And okay. Spell that for me. Okay, I'll facecrooks.com. FaceCrooks.com. And I'll follow up with that at thetechranch.com so people don't pull over and write that down. So we'll have that later.
Okay. And went there, and I couldn't believe all the things that were on there, and they're all scams. You know, the deal that says if you forward this or befriend so many people,
yes,
Walmart will give you $1,000 or a gift certificate.
Scams.
All of that is scams.
Yep.
You know, and before you do anything, you know, verify some of this stuff. And one of the sites you can do this on is called Rogue Gallery. It's LavaSoft.
Okay.
LavaSoft.com.
Okay.
And there's a Rogues Gallery. And there it lists all the antivirus spyware listings and malware and all of these things that you know that people fall for. And the other one is
that are
Snoops.
All scams.
Yeah,
yeah, and
Snoops.
Yep.
Snoops is a great one. Before you forward, you know,
and that's SNOPES.com. Snoops.com.
Yeah, Snoops. Yeah. And then that face
Crooks. Yeah, and I've even You know, I know I liked a photo right after Hurricane Sandy, and there was this photograph of the Statue of Liberty with this impending cloud, and I thought it was kind of unusual that this cloud was coming in like 12 hours before the hurricane was hitting, but there's these photos already circulating, and hundreds of thousands of people had already liked this photograph. And then I did a little investigation myself and found out that it was a fraudulent photograph. You know, so you just don't know what to believe, I guess. And you just have to be careful, even on Facebook, about the photographs and other things that people are posting.
Yeah, there's a another geek show out there.
Okay. Kim Komando.
Kim Komando.
Yes.
And she's actually posted this where on Facebook there was a deal about her,
okay,
which was a fake.
Okay.
And that's another good source for finding out stuff like this. If you go to you can actually subscribe to her blog and her email.
Yep. So I guess, you know, what we're all saying is that you just need to kind of beware about postings, and if you're unsure about a posting, and you should be.
Yes.
I mean, if a celebrity is coming out and says something and it seems maybe a little over the top or whatever, you should investigate it before you like it or dislike it or whatever, because it's very possible, or whatever, or even clicking on it, because I think the action of clicking on some of this stuff, it may actually bring a virus to your computer. I've actually seen people get infected by these things as
exactly.
well. So all right, so let's move on to other ways that people get viruses. And in your notes to me, Nick, you had talked about FrostWire, LimeWire, BearShare. What are these type of websites?
These are file sharing websites where, in most cases, you're downloading music.
Okay.
Which, number one, is illegal.
Yep.
Okay. And two, odds are it's going to bring a virus into your computer. What it does is, the minute you allow somebody to file share, you've actually opened your computer up to the internet. Imagine a door with a lock on it. How good is the lock if I leave the door open?
Right.
It's worthless.
Right.
And that's exactly, it disables your antivirus. It's completely worthless. And people don't understand this. I get computers in all the time. And especially parents watch your children. They're very smart. They share this stuff.
Well, they want to have all this free music.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll put it on your computer, and you'll look at it and say, what's this BearShare? Oh, that's just a little game I play. No, it's not.
Yep.
So you want to question what is on the computer and check it out. Now, let's talk about virus. How do you know you got a virus?
Well, my answer to that would be the best viruses, you would never know you have it.
Exactly. One of the telltale signs is your computer will start to run slow.
Okay.
Now, when I say slow, I don't mean
really
slow. If you're using your computer, you just got a feel for it. You know, you click on something and in a couple of seconds something happens. Well, all of a sudden, it doesn't happen that quick.
Right.
And just about the time you think about it, it happens.
Sure.
So you just ignore it. And then you get used to it. That's what I'm talking about. That means there's something on your computer, and they're probably harvesting information. Now, why did they do viruses?
Well, it used to be that it was malicious, but that's not so much the case
exactly.
anymore, is it?
Now it's all about stealing money and information.
Okay, so what kind of information are they trying to get from you?
Anything you do on your computer, sites you go to, your friends, your email list, your bank account, if you're doing banking online, your Social Security number.
So are they you know, the virus itself, is it a lot of them, are they keyloggers where they're actually recording
yes.
the keystrokes that you're doing? And that to me is what's
yes.
probably the scariest
yep.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're sending this information to some place that they can resell it or
the
use it themselves.
The cyber criminals are gathering this information, and they're harvesting it, credit card numbers and things like this. And then they're going to turn around and start marketing this. They sell it to other cyber criminals,
okay.
and they go out and use it.
Yep.
And they're trying, one big thing is they're trying to steal your identity. And once they've got your identity, and it's amazing how they do it, they can get information off your Facebook account, they can get information off of some emails.
Yeah, they kind of put all this information that they gather from different sources together. And then they complete
yeah.
the picture.
Exactly. They find out your passwords, and all of a sudden, they are you.
Yep.
And they'll log into your checking account, clean it out. I do not do any banking online. I'm sorry. I just don't trust it.
Okay.
I'm just not there.
Yep, yep. And it's simply because it's not that you don't trust the financial institute that you're working with.
I don't.
It's that you don't trust the process of
protecting using
yourself.
It, yes, yep. Exactly.
Yep. So we're running out of time here. If you wanted, what is the best way to protect yourself outside of not doing this stuff that you can come up with?
Be smart using your computer. You are the best security there that you have. Watch what you're doing. Watch what you click on. Question anything that pops up. If it pops up on your screen, it's probably a fake fraud or something that's trying to get you.
Okay.
Just be smart using your computer.
And what about virus protection?
Keep your virus protection in force and keep it up. Don't let it run out.
And what about up-to-date?
Update all of your software. Update your Windows. People are afraid of updates because they crash your computer.
Yes.
Well, today, updates are security patches.
Right.
Update your software, your operating system. Update your Adobe Premiere or Adobe Flash and Reader,
yep.
JavaScript. Any of those things that you have on there that pop up that are updates. If you doubt it, call a computer technician or whatever and ask them about it, but always update your computer.
Yeah, updates are very, very important nowadays. Virus protection update is also critical.
Yes.
I mean, I would always right-click. Yeah. You can right-click over your icon.
And don't let it lapse.
Exactly.
People will let it lapse. They won't renew it, and they think, well, it's still on there. It's still working. No, you don't get the updates.
Yeah, and that's
it's
the biggest
worthless.
That's exactly right. That is the biggest issue. If that virus detection is – it may be working, but if it doesn't have the latest virus
definitions.
Oh, my goodness. You just literally opened the door to everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very, very big deal. So is there any virus protections that you recommend right now?
Well, we use
Viper.
Yes. Forgot about it.
I guess we're just going to be out of time here, Nick.
Out.
But we are. Yeah. Anyway, I appreciate your time today, Nick. It's been a great show. We're going to have you back on about viruses because I think we can put a whole show to this. And everybody, you have a safe travel for the holiday, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Tech Ranch, live and local on Supertalk 1270. Keep ahead of the trends. Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. to The Tech Ranch, exclusively here on Supertalk 1270 and online at supertalk1270.com.
Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on supertalk1270.com.